Well, I'm sure you agree with me that we've had just such a very, very fine Lord's Day. We met this morning and we were able to participate in worship with one another. We were able to study God's Word together, and as you can see from the notice board, we had a good number of folks that were present, and of course I just hasten to say that our worship to God does not depend on how many of us there are, but we do rejoice when we have visitors from a field that are with us and express that desire to worship and serve the same God of heaven that we do. Well, to arouse your curiosity and interest, I'm going to ask you a question. How many brothers and sisters do you have in your family? How many brothers and sisters do you have? Well, you may say, I'm trying to just cover the field. You may say, well, I'm the only child. I dreamed of having brothers and sisters. If you were all girls, you say, well, I wish I had a brother. If you had a brother, you may wish I didn't have a brother. I wish I had more sisters. Well, why ask such a question like that? Are we just fooling around tonight? No, I have some news for you. You have 87, count them, you have 87 brothers and sisters here at Courthouse. Did you know that? Besides you. Now, I may have missed one or two, and if you go over the list, you may come up with a little different number than I did. But that's a pretty good-sized family, isn't it? You talk to some people, oh, back in the older days, well, someone would say, well, there were 20 or 21 of us in the family. But if someone asks you, how many are in your family? And you say, I've got 87 brothers and sisters. Do you know you'll be telling the truth? Now, am I exaggerating? No, because I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3, which actually forms the scriptural foundation for our lesson tonight. And John puts it like this through the Holy Spirit. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And I hope you really feel that way. If you are a Christian, I hope that it is so that if someone asks you, well, who are you? That you are able to reply, I'm one of God's children. We are the children of God. And consequently, in our New Testament scriptures, oh, we just find over and over again the apostles, the Bible writers, referring to us as brothers and sisters who are all in that spiritual blessed relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who are we? We are children. Well, we are what kind of children? Well, we are a special kind of children. We are the children who belong to God. Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon everyone who is able to say in verity and in truth, I'm one of God's children. Just as surely as we are able to talk about such a subject tonight, and just as surely as you are able to confidently affirm, I am one of the children of God, so you are also affirming, I have both wonderful blessings and I also have some duties. I have some responsibilities. You know, in relating this to a physical family, we say, well, all of those things are so. If someone says, what family are you a part of? And you tell them your father and your mother, well, chances are you're going to do that with a big smile on your face, and you are going to say, well, my father is this one, my mother is this one, I am their child. And of course, as we all are aware, especially during those growing up years when we're all together at home in the family, we know that not only are there all of the blessings that every member of the family will participate in, but there are also those duties and responsibilities to carry out. So a good part of our lesson tonight then is going to center around this idea. First of all, what are our responsibilities as we recognize that we've got 87 brothers and sisters here at Courthouse? And what is our blessings that will flow? Well, first of all, whenever we talk about our duties and responsibilities, we recognize that God, who is our Father, that we have some very special duties toward Him. Now, what are you going to put up at the top of your list? Well, we already have that done for us. You remember the scribe, the lawyer, that came to Jesus while he was here on earth, and he asked him that very special question. He said, which is the greatest commandment of all? And of course, without a doubt, he had in mind that old covenant. He had in mind those Old Testament laws. But because of the teachings of the New Testament, we say that the answer of our Lord still is just full of meaning for us. And the way in which the Lord states this, it just kind of summarizes how we should feel toward God, our Heavenly Father. So, recorded in Mark, the 12th chapter, and verse 30, we're able to read these words of the Lord Jesus. And you shall love the Lord your God. How much? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. All right, now, let's do a little bit of thinking about this. I am one of the children of God. God is my Heavenly Father. What is the first and foremost duty that I have toward God? Well, that's easy. To love him. Now, let's do it like this. Whenever we read about this relationship, this responsibility that you and I and all of the children of God have toward our Heavenly Father. How do we talk about it? Well, we need to say, first of all, this isn't talking about human love in the sense that we are talking about the love that might exist between husband and wife or toward us and our neighbors. That's a different kind of expression, a different kind of love. But at the same time, I think we can learn from that. Now, we do know about the expression of love toward one another. Here's the young man and the young lady, and they've been going together quite some time, and they've become familiar with each other, and they admire each other, actually everything about each other. And the young man looks up at the young lady, and he says, "I love you with all of my heart." And she replies, "Well, I love you with all of my heart." Now, you've had that to happen, haven't you? Some of you. Well, what does that mean? Well, unless that fellow was fibbing, unless he just wanted to make that girl feel good, what he was saying was, with all of my being, this is a serious relationship that I am talking about. With everything that I am, with everything that I have, I love you that much. No holding back, no reservations whatsoever. All right, now, let's get to the words of this greatest commandment of all. How much are the children of God to love God? Well, we're to love Him with all of our heart. We're to love Him with all of our soul. We are to love Him with all of our mind. And we are to love Him with all of our strength. Now, what has Jesus covered, or what has He left out? Well, you say, "Well, Brother Gene, that just includes the entire being of man." Whether we go to a dictionary and try to make a distinction between heart and soul, between mind and strength, the truth of the matter is, this is everything that we've got. Does it involve the emotional part of man? Well, absolutely. Our religious friends who maybe think that you have to have some kind of wild expression of emotionalism, when they come to our worship service, they sometimes leave disappointed because they say, "Well, that's not an emotional service." Isn't it? Well, from my heart, from my innermost being, with all of the passions, with all of the emotions of my body, I'm to love God without reservation, without holding back. In that spiritual sense, I'm to be able to say to God, "Father, I love you with all of my heart." But it has to do with the spiritual part that God has given to us. That spirit which is within you, that is eternal in its nature, that really is the you. I'm to love Him with that soul. in my mind, all of my intellect, I'm not to hold anything back at all. It's not to be a vacillation, as it were, of where some days I love God and some days I don't. Or where some days I say, well, you know, I really, really believe in God today, but tomorrow, maybe when things get a little bit hard, I'm not sure that I believe in God at all. You see, these kind of people who are carrying out that first commandment, boy, they're steadfast. It isn't a matter of their wanting to love him one day with their mind and not loving the next. And then all of my strength. Well, that brings in the physical side, doesn't it? Here's the inner man, everything that is within us, our hearts, our souls, our minds. But then this devotion, this love, it's going to be carried out by the members of my body. And I'm not going to hold anything back. It does not matter how difficult the way. It does not matter what obstacles are going to be placed in my way by nature or by enemies, whatever it may be. I'm going to love him. Well, what follows then? Well, there's just a whole lot of things that follow in my responsibilities toward God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to worship him. And I won't try in that worship to instill my own ways. I'm going to worship him in the way that God tells me this will please me. This will give honor to me. So how? Well, in song and in prayer, in sacrificial giving to the causes that God himself has espoused and said, these are my causes. These are the things that will honor me. And so, in all that he tells me to do, honoring him, worshiping him, worshiping his son, whatever you do in word or in deed, this is Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Something that is just going to naturally follow then in my duties, in my relationship to God, is this matter of living a righteous life. There's no person that's ever loved God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength that did not strive toward righteousness. But I come back to 1 John 2, verse 28 and 29, and now, little children, abide in him. And when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And if you will, that's sort of the acid test. How do you know that you're really one of God's children? If you're practicing righteousness. If you are practicing those standards that God, the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, has given to us, well then, that's one of the signs that, yes, I am God's child. Now, if I don't do righteousness, If I practice unrighteousness, then I'm just putting the lie to it when I say, oh, I'm really one of God's children. All right. I think you probably, if you were doing the lesson, you would enumerate a number of other things in our duties and our relationships to God. But let's hasten on now and talk for just a minute about our relationships with each other. If we are indeed the children of God, then just as in the physical family, we also have a relationship, a responsibility to each other. And I'm going to enumerate them rather quickly. How are we to react? How are we to act toward one another? Well, to love one another. To love one another. Just as surely as we say we love God, so he also teaches us that we are to have that kind of love toward one another. 1 John 3, verse 11, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And so the New Testament epistles, as they deal with this very subject, tells us that we are to weep with those that weep. We are to rejoice with those that rejoice. That there is to be no division, no schism in the body, but we're all to have the same care for one another. And then we have a responsibility to look out for one another. You know, in the physical family, if we see that our brother or sister is in some kind of danger, what are we going to do? Oh, you say, if my little brother is getting ready to run out in the street, I'm going to grab him by the hand. If I see that one of God's children are getting ready to drown, I'm going to do everything within my power in order to rescue them. Well, the very same thing then in God's family. In James chapter 5, in the spiritual relationship, verse 19 and 20, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Oh, I'm so glad I've got brothers and sisters who are encouraging me, who are careful for my spiritual welfare, and who truly, indeed, care for me. We fellowship and worship together. We talked about that this morning. The fact that Christians, God's family, well, we come together. We come together in order that we may indeed be of this encouragement to each other, but in order that we may be able to worship God in the ways that he tells us to. All right. Do you think I'm finished? I'm not. How do we carry out these responsibilities? Well, some of them are very simple. I'm going to get you now. Do you know the names of your 87 brothers and sisters? Do you? You say, Gene, I know some of them. I want to tell you, Bill, you'll have to excuse me. I've never heard the word dowdy pronounced in so many different ways as I have from this very stand. You know why? Well, first of all, some of the fellas that stand up to make the announcements, they may as well just be outside because they don't have a clue what they're doing. And I think that's a shame. I think that's a shame. You say, Gene, I don't know how to pronounce Bill's name. Well, Bill's a pretty good fella. Just go to him and ask him, is your name Doherty? No. Well, how about Doherty? No, it's not Doherty. Well, what is it? Well, it's Bill Dowdy. That's what it is. I'll tell you, we murder our brothers and sisters' names, and the fellow that, and it's not just the fellow that's making the announcement, and after we're through, people out there saying, I wonder who in the world he's talking about. Well, the reason why is because he doesn't know who he's talking about. And that's a shame. It really is. It really, you would not treat your physical brother or sister that way. You see, we're here at Courthouse, we're talking about some very practical things. You may say, Gene, what difference does it make? And I reply, it just makes a whole lot of difference. You cannot carry out your duties of loving your brothers and sisters if you don't know who they are and if you cannot even pronounce their names. Now, granted, if we were in a congregation of 5,000 or 15,000, I could understand how you would say, well, I don't know everybody's name. But really, we're just a small congregation. We've just got a portion of God's family here. Well, what are we to do? Well, visit one another. If you don't do anything else, visit while you're here at the church building. Now, I congratulate you. We are good about staying around after services in order to talk with one another. All right, that's good. Don't always talk to the same person. How am I going to know what my brothers and sisters are going through unless I talk with them? Now, I'm not talking about being a busybody. You know that. But do I know what the goals, for instance, of my young brothers and sisters are? Do I know what they're studying? Do I know their problems? Well, the same thing is true concerning all of us. How am I going to pray for you if I do not know what to pray for and what it is that you need? In other words, it's a matter of our spending time with one another. Know where one another live. Some of you come from a distance. I think Cecil and Irene come from at least 40 miles away. That's a long, long way to drive. Well, am I aware of that? Am I aware of that in inclement weather? Do I know what problems my brothers and sisters are facing? Learn one another's hopes. Learn one another's fears. Learn one another's trials. And encourage and pray for one another. All right, I'm sure I couldn't say more. So, what are our privileges? Well, you just come back here to 1 John 3. God has shown us his great love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. It's an honorary name. It's the greatest name I could possibly wear. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be in the future, but we know that when he is revealed, here is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our older brother, who is coming back. We know when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Aren't you looking forward to that great blessing? The children of God are going to be just like Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. I'm not talking about divine, you know that. And so then, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, I don't know that there is anybody present tonight who is not already one of God's children, but there is enough that the Scripture has said to encourage you to become a Christian if you're not already. But we're going to simply stand and sing the good song that Jim has selected. If you are a subject of the gospel, if we can help you in any way, well then please do let us do that. Thank you.